Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
DDP, how are you? Appreciate you joining the program today.
Ah, dude, I was waiting for you guys to call me, and I was like, no one's calling me. So I called my buddy up, Ked Backler at Life Med Institute, and I was like, bro, what's the deal? They're going to get me on the show tonight? He goes, here, call this number.
Yeah, I was texting him, too, like, hey, because we got all the wires crossed. But, no, it's good to have you here, man, and appreciate it, and wanted to get in a whole bunch of stuff with you. But, last time we had you in studio, it's, stranger times. I'm doing the show from my house now in my dining room, and we kind of got into when you were going to get your big break and you were telling me about your back injury. I thought it was such a great story. Can you go back to that and touch on that and what that meant for your career at that point in time?
Yeah. What had happened is I didn't start wrestling until I was 35, and my career took off when I was 40, which was in 1996. That's when wrestling had it really exploded and literally took over cable television between the WCW and the WWE at that time. Now it's all WWE, but back then it was the two different companies like Coke and Pepsi going against each other on the Monday Night Wars. There was a number of times that we had the top four ratings of the top 10, meaning 1, 2, 3, 4. And it was between SmackDown and Raw and Thunder
Nitro,
and
right?
Nitro. And we were in the number one spot straight for 83 weeks, like 83 straight weeks. I mean, it was crazy, man. And over that period, I headlined, when my career took off, I was 40, which is in 96, 97, 98. I headlined in probably 13 out of 24 pay-per-views, one of them being with Karl Malone against Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan. I headlined against Goldberg. I headlined against Randy Savage. I mean, I was living the dream at a whole different level, and I just signed a multi-million dollar three-year deal, and then I blew my back out. And what I did is I ruptured my L4 and L5 so severely that I had three spine specialists tell me I was never going to be able to wrestle again. Well, that would have made that contract go bye-bye. So, it wasn't completely about the money, but it was about the money, all the hard work I put in, and I never gotten paid, and I wanted to still live the dream. And my wife at the time, Kimberly, was like, you should try yoga to heal your body. I'm like, I ain't doing effing yoga. Not doing it.
Do you think a lot of guys say that, though, until they actually get into it?
Yeah, and that's what happened to me. Once I finally started, I realized how ignorant that was. Mm-hmm. And it really, in the first couple of weeks, I started to feel a difference. And then it wasn't giving me everything. So I started to mix the yoga positions with the rehabilitation techniques. I rehab both shoulder surgeries, both knee surgeries. Now I've got this blown L4 and L5. So I'm learning stuff from rehab there and mixing it with the yoga positions. And then I threw in old school calisthenics, push-ups, squats, crunches, and to keep my strength. And I had to do them in a slow burn movement, which means like 3 second, 5 second, 10 second push-ups. And what I found out completely by accident was every time that you flex or engage a muscle, no matter what it is, your heart has to beat faster to get the blood to the muscle. So I had myself engaging muscles as I moved from one position to another, and I found my heart rate was getting jacked up and getting me in the cardio zone and even the anaerobic zone, standing still. And after just doing it, I built up to 3 hours a day. That's my job. It wasn't 3 hours at one time, but I do like an hour and 10 minutes. And I might come back later in the day and do 40, then do 20 and 30 and 10 before I went to bed or whatever. And my body was getting so much stronger. In less than 3 months, I was back in the ring. At 42, they said my career's over. At 43, I was a world champ, which is like getting our Oscar at 43 years old. And the guys I was in the ring that night with, it was a four-way dance. There was Sting, Flair, and Hogan, and I came out the world champ on that. It was a huge push for me. And again, I had my career kept soaring, and the only way I was able to do it was what I call today DDPY, which is DDP yoga. Mm-hmm. But it's really like... If I'll call it yoga, it's only when I call it DDP yoga. It's yoga for people who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga because they don't get it. And I made it kind of fun, and I made it so it's kick-ass cardio, and it'll dramatically increase your flexibility and strengthen your core with minimal joint impact on your body.
Talking to Diamond Dallas Page, DDP, here on 105.7 The Fan. Now, I wanted to get into some of the wrestling stuff because we were talking about this a lot last night. WrestleMania has a chance, and the WWE, and you know, that goes for all the wrestling organizations now that have something going on. I feel like it's a big opportunity to win some fans back with no sports in the world right now.
Yeah, man. It really is, and it's really interesting right now because they're going to, at some point, not let them do this anymore, too, because it's not like it's a necessity. The WWE or the AEW, they're not making ventilators, or masks or any of that stuff. And that's the only ones that are supposed to be able to continue to, be able to stay open as businesses, for the next couple of weeks. That's what's supposed to be, but we'll see. But the WWE did something really different this year, and it'll be interesting to see. Because they've shot the matches already, and it goes over a 2-day period. So I'm hoping, and I have no idea, and I really don't. I'm kind of hoping that they went for more of a cinematic approach, kind of like I think of Rocky. Anybody can go back to seeing Rocky. I've seen it 10 times when he gets in the ring with Apollo Creed that first time. You're moving in your seat. And your arms are starting to move a little bit. And, I remember being in the theater with that, and people were going crazy. Watching boxing, fake boxing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, too, to think about it. But with no fans out there, give me your thoughts, because it's two-sided, because they can go back and clean anything up and change anything they want to get it perfect if they feel like they didn't like something, first off.
Right.
And how weird is it to not have fans out there? Because I don't know what the – I'm sure there are some events where you had a little bit of fans, not as many as you'd like when you first started out, and maybe at some point in your career, something happened. But seems strange.
I wrestled in front of 300 people in a stadium. But the 20,000 seater that's blocked off and there's 300, 400 people there, that sucks. But at least there's people there.
Yeah.
When there's no – because wrestling, it's the two, people going at it – The third person in the ring is the fans. Like, how do you get them to react? Because that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter if they're cheering you or booing you, as long as they're doing something.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? On their hand or nothing.
Yeah, and I was telling some of my listeners here, I was a huge wrestling fan back in the day, and then I kind of flamed out a little bit, and we'll still get together and watch some pay-per-views. It's just a reason for my friends and I to hang out and watch some of the matches, and I'm still looking at it. Some things still interest me, some names I know, and then there's some new guys. I'm like, well, who's this, who's that? But I was always a fan of the bad guys. And you tell me, because you did a little bit of both, but most of the time when I was watching wrestling, you were the good guy. I think when I first started, you were a heel. Did you have a preference of what to play, and is it easier to feed off the fans if you're one or the other?
Well, it's hard to get people to chant your name. It's really, really, really hard. It's hard to get people to really like you, just like in life. Way harder if my cat's trying to get out the door. Get in there.
Yeah, I was just dealing with this with my dogs. I'm over here, and they're fighting or they're humping one another. And I'm like, come on, guys, I'm on the air. You didn't do it all day. You wait until I got on the air.
The bottom line is it's easier to get people to boo you. it's easier to get people to chew you. We call it cheap heat, you know, when you start insulting the fans just to get them to hate you. There's a kid right now in from New York, Long Island. His name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. And he is so dedicated to being the heel at every turn. His commitment is unwavering. I think he's the best heel in the business right now. He's 23. Like, this kid is, he studied this business since he was a baby. And when you're a heel, everybody wants to be cheered, not Max. And when he does finally turn babyface, and that was for me too, I did not want to be cheered. You know, I wanted to be the bad guy. Steve Austin was the same way. And we both flipped around the same time, but we didn't say, okay, it's time to be a babyface, meaning the good guy. People did.
Is it weird, though? I'm sorry, I was just going to ask, is it weird when you're set up to be the villain and then the fans start to like you? Because that's what happened somewhat with you, right, and with Stone Cold.
No, absolutely. That's exactly what happened.
The Rock, a bunch of guys.
He was more adamantly against it than I was. And then I guess he got some of his T-shirt checks and he was totally for it. Those Stone Cold, those Austin 316 T-shirts, he made millions when it came to that.
Oh, man.
And I'm so happy for him. But, you know, once you really become a fan favorite, it's hard to flip back. And I did it, but I still had too many people cheering me. It's kind of like Ric Flair. And even though he was like one of the greatest villains, God, you loved him so much. It got to a point where he just couldn't be the bad guy. He could try to be, but he's not going to be. It really takes like a real commitment to be the bad guy, the way Max is and the way Chris Jericho is. Like Jericho, he's going to be the heel, and you're not going to have a choice about it because he's just going to bury it. And you're still singing his song, Judas, on the way to the ring. Like, it's phenomenal the way he does it. But it's really just the commitment. And I loved being the heel until I became the really over babyface.
Yeah.
Man, there ain't nothing like that.
Everybody chanting your name, really the bangs you. Going on. Yeah, everything.
Oh, man, it's like being the Beatles, man. That's what it was like. Because at our time, you got to remember, like today, when they get ratings that are a 3, like they're really happy to have them because of streaming and everything. We had ratings that were 6, 7s, and 8s.
Well, you know? I was talking to somebody else. I was just like, you know, when I was a kid and we would all get together, I remember Monday nights. When the NWO thing started, and then, of course, Austin, I mean, it totally flipped me. I knew somebody was going to get jumped at the end of the night. The last match was going to be ruined, and someone would have their back spray painted. And I looked forward to that like it was Christmas Day every single time. And then once you got the big factions, and, you know, they were building up some of the faces they had to go against them, like, you couldn't wait for Sunday pay-per-views.
Yeah, it was a great time. There was those Nitro parties. It was really cool, man. I mean, I was lucky. You know, it's crazy because I tried to wrestle when I was 22, 23, and it didn't work out for me. I had like 3 matches. I sucked. I hurt my knee again, and I took some time off. I ended up running my first rock and roll bar, and I got swept away by the booze, the broads, and the party. Mm-hmm. And then I came back when I was 31 as a manager and got in the AWA because of a videotape I made up with 3 guys who wanted to be wrestlers. One was called Big Bad John. The other was called Rock Hard Rick. And the other guy was Ted E. Bear, and he was a midget. And he came out with my Diamond Dolls. And
Teddy
I sent
Bear.
The tape to the AWA, which was in Chicago, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I mean, that was their territory. I sent them a videotape, and they called me up. And they were like, Diamond Dolls Page, we want you to come in with your guys to Vegas. We want you to do a tryout. We've got one question, though. We've shown the tape around. Everybody likes your shtick. But no one's ever heard of you before. Where are you guys working? And I went, well, those guys can't wrestle. He says,
wow.
What? I go, well, it's like a secret society. No one can figure out how to get involved. You know, there was no independent wrestling like there is today where Joe Schmo can start his own promotion. There was territories. And if you tried to stand within those territories, it was like the mob. You got squeezed out.
Yeah, they talked about that during Ric Flair's piece that they did. I forget if that was a 30 for 30, but
that was amazing. That was amazing.
And how all the territories and then guys crossing paths, and then finally Vince McMahon was one of the guys that had an idea to just start, you know, teaming up and making these cross promotions happen. And that's kind of the history of the sport, right, and how it grew.
Yeah, big time. And it took Vince really having a lot of, balls, really, to do that. Because he made a lot of promises that were all in his head, meaning that we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And everything that Vince imagined, he actually did, but there was no guarantee in any of it. All the best guys from all the territories. Like, he was seen as the monster villain in professional wrestling because it went from 40 territories to really two, which was owned by Ted Turner and owned by him. The main reason Turner did it is he tried to buy Vince's WWF away from him when he was on his TV. And Vince was like, you're not taking my company. But he already bought the Hawks and the Falcons and the Braves. So he figured, I'll just have my own wrestling. And then when Vince didn't do it, they brought back Florida Championship Wrestling, and Turner, created WCW. And, they put NWA and the UFC. They grabbed a couple, they bought a couple of territories and brought their stars in with the NWA, and everything became WCW. It was crazy, man. Like, great for the wrestlers, though, because you had two competing factions. And that was really gone for the longest time when WCW went off the air, until this last 2 years when streaming has kind of taken over television. People are, DVR, they're recording stuff and not watching commercials. And, they're getting away from that. So there's no more must-see television unless it's sports or wrestling. So now there's an AEW on TNT again. Cody Rhodes, who's Dusty Rhodes' son, he's running it for the guy who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony Khan.
Yeah.
They've got a great little thing over there. It's not the WWE, because the WWE is the monster. But I think they're doing really, really great with their production and their matches and their storylines. And TNT's happy. They just gave them a 4-year contract.
See, that's awesome. And my friends are all telling me they're trying to get me back into wrestling. It's like, you need to check out AEW. And even when I talk to Kent, Kent's like, you got to watch it. You're going to love it. And Kent over at LifeMed. So I would love to see them grow, because now when you have competition, I think it's going to breed the best thing out there that you could possibly see. Because now everybody's got to be on their toes trying to come up with new ideas and create, great storylines and stuff like that. I did want to ask you, though, with WrestleMania coming up this weekend, do you still have, friends in the WWE that are wrestling today? Are there anybody you're close with?
Oh, God. A lot of the younger guys. You got to remember, my DDP yoga program, I've been down at the WWE Performance Center for years down there, and all those guys are doing my program. I mean, that's how they're able to do what they do, because it's kind of like it's a preventative. The workout is around, although that corresponds my the workout is based around strengthening your core and also preventing injuries as well. And so Drew McIntyre is one of my closest friends. I've been mentoring him for a long time. And he's just a great kid. He's got his shot at Brock Lesnar for the world title. And, and even though they've already shot it, I don't want to know, because I want to watch. I want to be a fan. And, and like I said, I hope they really take it cinematically and take that angle, because there's so many great matches they could have that no one will ever see before. And, I'm also Positively Paige. I wrote a book called Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It, that just recently dropped. What is this guy doing flying up and down my street? I'm about to beat his ass.
Well, that would be an interesting interview here, listening to you beat the crap out of somebody. So,
I truly started pissing me off.
Yeah, I hear it, man.
Sure.
Hey, Paige, I talked to Diamond Dallas Paige here on 105.7 The Fan. Last time you were in Baltimore and you came in studio, I don't know if you remember, I brought my buddy Bobby in, and you get this a lot. And I know a lot of wrestlers have talked to you, Bobby Jones, and great guy. He talked to you about how you saved his life with DDP yoga. I've had Jake the Snake on. He talked about how you saved his life. and plenty of people have done that. What does that mean to you, man? Because that's got to be a huge coup for you and something that you're really proud of.
Yeah, I actually believe now that I'm branding everything DDPY. Why? Because I want people to stop calling it just yoga.
Yeah.
My program, if something was to happen to me with this coronavirus yeah. that's going around, if it was, I know that this is going to live on because it's become more than just the workout. It's a lifestyle that really helps people ground themselves and, and there's no chanting, there's no oming, there's none of that stuff that comes with yoga. It's just a positive attitude. And I've developed a really amazing place for people to go that, need help and get basically hopeless. Like they, when you lose hope, you lose a lot. And, I just provided my crew. It isn't just me. Like we just put up on DDP Yoga Facebook, our next, documentary video, which is a inspirational video that's called DDPY Rebuild. And it's really helping people who have really limited mobility and how they can, change their lives and, start to own their lives. As a matter of fact, because of the days the way they are right now all the kids are home as well, way earlier than the parents are ready for. And they can't send them over to Bobby's or Jamie's to play because they don't want the kids mixing with each other. So they're basically in their house. One of the series I have is DDPY for Kids, and it's three separate workouts. They're all 8 years old to 12 years old. If you go to ddpyoga.com/kidsfree, you get to get those workouts for nothing. I put them up on my site so parents could pull them up on their computer or pull them up on their TV and have their kids actually do it. And maybe they don't do it with them. It's a great way for kids to bond. So it's just something that we do. And also I made it about 7 months ago, whenever the last Veterans Day was, mm-hmm. I started to think about, instead of doing something for veterans one day a year, I decided to make DDP Yoga the veterans workout, friend that I all the time, and it's Veterans Day at ddpyoga.com or ddpy.com, and it's 50% off all our DVDs and our app. And so many veterans have reached out to me and thanked me for doing that for them. Because a lot of them, I've been to Iraq 3 times and Afghanistan once, and I went over there for 13 days, which, for civilians like us, that's a long time to be over there. But they really appreciated, the fact that, I went out there and I'd work out with them. I took pictures and, I did all the, Mickey Mouse with tattoos stuff, I call it. And then I worked out with all of them. And so many of them come back to get the program. And then they see that it's always Veterans Day. So it's our way of giving back, And right now, people need our business is going up. A lot of people, are dropping off. I haven't laid one person off because, I'm going to keep my people as long as I can. And I can't have anybody in our performance center where people are working out because, we closed 4 weeks ago, but I'm still paying everybody because our company's still doing well. I want to take care of my guys who've been with me through thick and thin. And, I'm just really grateful that, that people have found the program and they talk about it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that. And I always tell people, don't listen to a word I have to say about DDPY.
Just listen to everybody else, right?
Instagram. Yeah. They'll tell you.
Hey, Paige, let me ask you before I let you run, just talking about WrestleMania being this weekend, do you have a favorite moment or two for you or maybe something you were a part of? Because I was looking up some of your matches. I remember you wrestled Christian on WrestleMania, correct? You had a big match there.
Yeah, that was right. And you have to understand that WrestleMania 6, my 62 pink Cadillac got the gig to drive Honky Tonk and Greg Valentine, Jimmy Hart, and Sherry Martel. A lot of people don't know that Sherry yeah. Martel was Peggy
Scary
Sue.
Sherry.
And the car got the gig, and when Pat Patterson asked me what it would cost, I said, Pat, if you fly me up there, ship the car up there and put me up, I'll give it to you for nothing if you let me drive it. So I was Diamond Dallas chauffeur, chauffeur in the honky tonk band to the ring. Now, the main event of that show was Hogan versus Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
8 years later in Vegas, Hogan and Warrior are having part two. Me and Goldberg are sharing the main event spot. Actually, we went on last and stole the show. And to actually have been there as a chauffeur 6 years earlier and then be on the card in the main event with Hogan and Warrior was just, you know, outstanding. And then to be out there in the same building as WrestleMania 6, be out there where I drove the car. Now I'm out there for the European Championship with Christian, who was amazing heel. And he was from Canada, and you'd never know it because he healed on those people huge, and we had a tremendous match. So, yeah, I've got a fond spot in my heart for WrestleMania. And unlike The Undertaker, I'm still undefeated.
See, there you go.
at Mania. So.
That's awesome. Hey, Paige, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say one thing because I got really good friends up there. You know, I got a lot of people up there in Baltimore I'm super tight with. But Kent Backler and Jen, his fiance Jen, they've got LifeMed Institute. You know, they're the ones who brought me in originally. And I got to tell people that, and this isn't a commercial for them because I pay for this. Mm-hmm. But they're doing stem cells now. And once this, you know, craziness subsides, I mean, I would be there right now because it's been almost 2 years since I had it done. But right now I'm starting to feel a little bit of, you know, it starts to wear after a while. But he did both of my knees. Ken had the doctor there do both of my knees and both of my shoulders. And, man, coming up on 2 years, my shoulders still feel great. My knees there, they should be new titanium knees, but I'm trying to keep them as long as I can. If anybody, like, they do so much great stuff over there at LifeMed Institute, but for the knees and shoulders, for the stem cells, for me, we're off the hook. So,
Hey, DDP, I've been endorsing them for over a year. I just went in Tuesday and got my shot and was talking to Ken a little bit there. I keep telling people they're the best people around, and just go in and get your blood work done, and you know that stuff's covered by insurance. Just experience that and then find out all the other things they have, because it's just too much to tell everyone, and it's an amazing place with phenomenal people. You know it as well as I do.
Well, it's a kind of like my company I have down here. Like, so many of my people, they care. That's the way Kent and Jen, that's like they're from the top on down, you know, and everybody there, they all care about the people, and they actually give a damn. So that's where I want to go. You know, people are, they ain't in it for the money. They're in it for changing lives. That's what they are. And that's what we do. So listen, bro, great catching up with you.
Thanks, man.
You know, WrestleMania should be very interesting. Everybody, if you haven't watched AEW, check them out on Wednesdays on TNT. I don't know if you got to see it, but on January 15th, I did one comeback match because that would have made 6 decades that I actually wrestled at least one match. And a hell of a comeback I blew. And then I jumped off the top rope down to all the guys on the floor. You know, was that a smart thing to do? I don't know about that, but was it crazy and exciting and the crowd lost their mind? And did it prove everything I say about my program? Yes. At 64 years young Sunday.
hey, Paige, if anything, I'm glad we could keep you from kicking somebody's ass from speeding up and down your street. Maybe you'll catch him on the next swing. But
he stopped. He stopped. I walked out into the street. Dude, I live in a beautiful neighborhood. I just couldn't believe it happened.
You can hear how fast he was going. Hey, man, I know I've kept you way too long, but I appreciate your time, and you're one of the best, man. And hopefully when you're back in Baltimore, we can get you on again and, you know, shoot the breeze a little bit more.
Absolutely. And tell your buddy I said hello, okay?
I'll tell Bobby you did. He said the same thing. He was texting me during the interview. Thanks, man.
Got it, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.